On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
I'm not sure what the f*** this is. I'm about to find out.
This is Tall Can Audio.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome to TCA number 700. And I have received multiple answers when we started the last show. I asked if it was cheating to be counting this way. Most people seem to think yes, but we're doing it anyway. This is 700. Rob over here. No, Rob's over there. Matt's over here. What's going on, man?
Just taking a pull on that Pink Whitney.
Okay. Sorry. So we will get to that in just a second. But we did 400 and some odd sports, almost 200 Whiplash, some unforced errors, a couple of anniversary shows that didn't really have qualifiers, right? It was TCA 50, TCA 100, whatever. 700 podcasts, man.
And you know what it comes down to, Matt? Our podcast. You don't like it? Please listen.
I'm going to call this TCA 1200 if I fucking feel like it.
Yeah, see? Now you're getting into the swing of things.
So we did tease this for a while, and we talked on a couple of episodes about the infamous and apparently hard to find Pink Whitney. And thanks to a couple of listeners and some sort of bootleg operation my sister was running, we were able to find a little, and we've got that in front of us now.
Which sister?
Well, I don't really need to use any names, but the one that you would expect would be running bootleg operations of Central Ontario.
Yep, perfect.
So we have it, and you've obviously already now taken a pull on it. First impressions?
It's like gasoline, man. Syrupy gasoline. I am not.
Yeah.
I do not find that to be a tasty beverage. Now, you know what? I'll try it again. What about you? How have you?
Well, my first pull that I took on this was like you lift the glass up, you take a swig. As I'm pulling the glass away, I already have heartburn shooting back up my throat at me.
Yes, Matt has a future career at the Food Network, because you've actually described that quite nicely. I thought you were going to say when I pulled it away, I left part of my face there. I don't know what I was expecting, but I poured what I took from your place. That was in the flask, and I took a lowball glass, put about 4 cubes in there, and then. I have no idea. How much of this am I supposed to be drinking?
That's all I've been doing. You know, it's just a, like you said, a small glass, a couple of cubes, and just sipping on it or whatever, right? So it's, honestly, it's just sugar and vodka. That's all it is. Like, there's a little pink lemonade flavoring in there, but
okay,
there's not much to it, man.
So you know how much I took from your place?
Yeah, it was just a small flask.
Okay, but should I be taking that down during this show, or is
sure.
it, or is it
just
like,
shoot it,
or is it okay? And this is what I'm wondering is I have no idea what the percentage of it is.
30%.
Yeah. All right. So then, really, you know, I'm probably taking down about 6 ounces here in this glass. Probably not super advised with the 3 ounces of gin I have going in this other glass.
Yeah, there's a whole operation happening over there for
good,
sure.
Good show. I'm sure this is going to be dynamite.
Yeah, no doubt, man. So yeah, that's one of those things. And, you know, we've been talking, like, I know some women who have been mixing it with stuff, you know, guys who are trying it straight up and sipping. Our buddy, well, we debated who he is. Neither of us know him, but one of our listeners, I don't know if it's supposed to be Aaron or Aaron or whatever, he said his wife was mixing it with stuff. He was drinking it straight and he wasn't coming back for more. So, although he said that wasn't an option. His wife had taken down most of it. So.
Yes. Yeah. Hope you didn't like it.
Right.
That's like me with a pizza box.
Yeah, exactly. Get out of here.
Hope at first blush you didn't like it because it's done.
So yeah, that's my, honestly, it's exactly what it sounds like. It's lemonade flavored vodka with a pile of sugar. And like I said, I could feel the fire coming right back up my throat when I took the first sip out of it. So,
well, and I thought it was a pre-mixed thing. Like a White Claw.
Well, it is.
Or like
Well, okay, no. It's not that watered down.
Well, no, this is what I thought, right? So I didn't realize that it's really... Yeah, if it's 30%. Now, you know what? I'm not worried about the 30%. No. Can't take me down. And really, what? It's early enough in the day. I can coast on this bad boy. But, yeah.
It's manly. Sitting there holding a little pink-flavored...
Well, see, I've got it in this nice... Nice lowball glass. It's sort of octagonal in shape.
Got the He-Man logo on it.
Yeah, no, it's just, it feels good in your hand.
Yeah,
it's,
yeah.
It's loaded down with ice. But yeah,
honestly, like, I'm telling you, it's setting my throat on fire, but I didn't hate it. Like, and I'm having some right now, but I cheated. I did try this a week or two ago with my sister, and then someone else we know up here wanted to try it as well. So I've had it a couple. I don't hate it. It's not something I want all the time, but on ice... You know, maybe every now and then. Yeah, sure. Why not?
See, I am also not hating it after my... I've now had 3 or 4 pulls on it.
Yeah.
It, I feel a... I don't know if it's foreshadowing. I feel a slight throb in my frontal lobe. So I'm not
sure.
You
call that the Labatt throb?
Yeah. Well, that's... Usually it's the Molson X is what okay. I get that from, right?
But no, it's blue for me. Just kick right in the temple. It's a straight frontal lobe hangover.
Okay. Well, there you go. So I'll let you know. I'll let you know how this makes me, you know, if it makes me pee fire, just like sure. It feels going down. But it's treating me a lot like the night we had Andy over and we drank all those pints in the sour.
Yeah, okay.
I don't like that. I'm gonna have another sip.
Give me another one.
Oh, I'm gonna have another sip.
Yep.
Crack another one. So
right.
It seems to be I'm drinking it, but I'm, as somebody here in this house has said, you'll just drink really whatever's put in front of you. Not untrue. I can't get that upset about it because it's kind of true.
On the nose. Yeah.
Yes. Spot on.
Yeah. I want to give everybody one more little tease since we haven't dropped it yet. Our Canada Day show will be with Sportsnet's Elliot Friedman.
Woo!
We referenced just leading up to the last show that he was going to be a guest, and I said it'll be within the next couple of days. Honestly, I didn't know when we were going to drop it. And honestly, the more news that kept happening, the harder it made it to want to put out his show, right? You like to give them a little space between them. As your boy Dave Matthews would say, the space between, right? It's very important. No, nothing.
You. Yeah, well, it's way down my list of Dave tunes, but good for you, man.
Literally the only one I think
I got a good handle on. But you have no face. You wear sleeveless t-shirts, so.
Right now, man. Feeling good, drinking my pink Whitney and sleeveless t-shirt.
No pants.
Right. Got some KFC coming afterwards, maybe. No, we already did enough of that for a week.
Ooh, sure, man.
Yeah. So he will be on Canada Day, and I figure it's a good time to drop it. Most of you are used to having a certain Elliot fix during the free agent frenzy on Canada Day. We won't be doing that this year because of, obviously, the league being shut down. So you can get your Elliot Friedman fix right here on TCA. So look for that on Canada Day.
And that's a fantastic get. Honestly, you keep taking him down, Matt. Guest after guest here in the... Matt's getting fatter during the pandemic on all these guests. It's unbelievable, man. Bizarre,
but yes, I'm
taking it. Yeah, exactly. That's a side swipe on the way through. But honestly, that's another great get. So good for you. Good for us. Good for the show. Good for the listener.
Good for Elliot.
Yeah, good for you. Honestly.
Little street cred for Elliot.
Well, and for those of you who have not seen him since the season ended and saw him on the draft coverage,
yeah.
And I like there was a tweet saying, somebody said, can Elliot hold up a newspaper so that we know it's today's date and he's okay? Like, it does look like one of those Taliban videos.
For
or whatever.
Sure. The beard's getting away from him a bit, man.
Wicked. It looks like something's crawled up on his face. It's multicolored.
Well, there's been a few guys, especially on the Sportsnet side. I think Michael Grange as well from the NBA side of things there at Sportsnet. They were trading tweets back and forth, him and Elliot. It's who had the more gross-looking beard going. Well, and Grange has got quite the deal going there.
But Grange is a bit of a baby face a little bit.
Well, not right now.
No, but that's what I'm saying is he can – it's sort of a different look for him entirely, whereas, yeah, Elliot, he had the wild man hair going and the serious multicolored beard. Like, a white rat may have crawled into the middle of that beard and just hung out there when I was looking at him. I'm like, man, that is something.
We got a few things we want to touch on tonight. We got, we got some Blue Jays news. We have all kinds of injustice from the Ottawa side of the NHL. One other note that I want to touch on that maybe we'll save for a little bit. Why don't we start in Ottawa? Which injustice would you like to start with?
I'm not even really sure what you're talking about.
Of course you're not.
Maybe you should tee that up for me because injustice, I'm not sure what injustice you speak of, Matt.
So Rob is going to pretend that on his, the last time we talked on Wednesday, he did not tell me to prepare myself for a Daniel Alfredson versus Matt Sundin Hall of Fame debate, and that his first tweet on Friday night following the draft lottery was, I get it, but it hosed my team, so this is embarrassing. I believe I've teed those up pretty fairly, pretty evenly. Why don't you take it from there?
Well, and it's funny because, you know, when you have that dream where you wake up and you're six or you're seven and you're in the coat room at school and you have no clothes on?
Yeah. That dream.
Yeah. And those four grade six kids that have taken your clothes are running and laughing. Yep. No. I completely forgot about the Alfredson Sundin thing.
Okay.
And really,
I'm prepared for the debate.
It's funny though that, well, and you know me, I'm willing to go.
Yeah, or facts or not.
Yeah, whatever you got, I'm willing to wade in on whatever. In terms of injustices, I don't see either one of them as an injustice. What my tweet I think was saying was on the draft lottery. Was such an NHL move, right? That you would have a placeholder win the draft. You got Alexi Lafreniere queued up to be on your post show to talk about where he's going or possibly going, and no, it's a fucking question mark shows up. And to me at that point, you're like, that's lame. And it's a joke. I don't feel like my team got hosed. Once you as somebody who is in the draft in Ottawa with two picks, mm-hmm. ranked at 2 and 3, you hope for Lafreniere, right? Like, to me, he is the only, and I'm going to steal Ian Mendez, good friend of the show.
Yeah.
His take on thing, and what, you know, and he lays it out like this, so the good listener can understand where I'm coming from. You have one Gretzky. That's it. You're never going to see another Gretzky. You then have generational players like Lemieux, Crosby, McDavid. These are generational players. You then have foundational players or players that you can build a team around. Yeah. Your Patrick Kanes, your Austin Matthews, you know, these sorts of guys. Lafreniere, I think, in all opinion, was going to be a foundational player, right? He wasn't going to be a Crosby, but he is deemed to be in 2020 the hands down best player in this draft.
Yep.
So you hope for that. You hope for that.
Of course.
When you have second and third picks and weighted odds going into the draft, you hope for that. When you come out and your second overall pick has slid to fifth, and then the third has stayed essentially where it is, yeah, you're mildly pissed by that, right? At the end of the day, you always hope for better. It's like somebody saying, hey, you, buddy with a bus pass and no car, we're going to give you a Maserati. Oh, wait, sorry. You don't get the Maserati, but we have a brand new Buick and a BMW for you. What do you think? Well, I want the Maserati. No.
Yeah, and we sort of went over this part of it when they announced this, right? Because they had been kicking around, well, maybe we'll only let certain teams in, and maybe we will up the percentages. And then they went back to where it always was, and everyone was like, hey, fuck you. Technically, nothing had changed, but once you hang the carrot out there,
yeah,
you want the fucking carrot, right? Yeah. So I do understand that, and I think, you know, we exchanged a couple of tweets there on Saturday where the frustrating thing, I think, when you're part of the Senators fan base, and certainly the frustrating thing when you're watching the Senators fan base, is this running in circles around, what are you mad at?
Yeah.
Like, which part are we talking about? Is it the question mark on the number one team? Is it losing the lottery? You know, is it falling out a little bit? Technically, that Sharks pick did win the lottery. I know it seems like it stayed where it was supposed to, but you still had to win one of the lotteries to get there, right? So I'm not trying to cushion the blow with that, but all of a sudden that Carlson deal doesn't look quite so bad as it did.
And really, this is where I'm coming at it with, and my, I would like to say my extremely lucid tweet on Saturday was that exact thing, right? At the end of the day, you go, I'm mildly disappointed with the 3-5 out of a 2-3 hole, right? You go a 3-5. So I'm mildly disappointed, and we can get into actually how it's not such a bad thing. But you're mildly disappointed.
Of course.
And then the ridiculousness that comes with the fucking Pittsburgh Penguins or the Edmonton Oilers could have that pick. The Toronto Maple Leafs could have that pick. And you go...
But that part hasn't changed.
I know.
This is my frustration.
I know. But what I'm saying is I think anybody who understands... Okay, that I find to be totally stupid. It hasn't changed, but the outcome has been... As far as the NHL goes and its public relations opportunity is, you go, that's dumb. That's fucking dumb. Why have you done that? And it's turned out to be the worst case scenario. Would I think it's as equally ridiculous if that placeholder took the second pick or the third pick? Probably not. But when the placeholder takes the fucking cake, everybody's left like, we're not left with any clarity, really, at the end of this. But and so...
The Senators fans didn't have and near the problem with this when it was the Red Wings repeatedly getting hosed before this year, and they got hosed worse than you guys this year.
For sure they did.
We've seen New Jersey move up and get, I think it was the Hischier year. The New Jersey wasn't the last place team, but they won the lottery and moved up. Now, he wasn't Lafreniere, so you kind of go, all right, well, whatever.
Sorry that you won the big prize in that year. Sorry about that.
And last year, Chicago had the 12th spot, which is essentially who won it this year. Team E was the 12th spot. Would have been the Winnipeg Jets, and they would have moved up and taken it. Like, we've seen these teams win the cup or win the lottery before, and so the only thing that has changed now is that we just don't know who those teams are yet. And I'm tired of seeing people, and it's not you and it's not everybody, but going, oh, so a playoff team might get the first. No, they have said repeatedly, they don't consider this to be the playoffs. One team's going to get in, one team's going to lose. Those losers will miss the playoffs and have a chance in the lottery.
Losers.
Right.
Yeah. And so it's a convoluted setup, right?
And I agreed with you wholeheartedly on that when we first talked about this, that they should have waited, done all of it after the play-in round. That's the only part of this where I got time to go, yeah, okay, this looks weird, man. This is a weird way to do this, but it wasn't unfair. And that's where you lose me.
Yeah, no,
you lose me.
That's I was going to say, I don't think it's unfair. I think... now, if we want to extend out this conversation and you look at it and go, in the last 3 years, the Ottawa Senators went from having the second best chance, they picked four. Mm-hmm. They had the best opportunity last year, they picked four, right? That went to Colorado. Yeah. This year, Ottawa had the second best chance, they went to five. I understand that you are looking to not have teams tank and not benefit by that. Yeah. But at some point, what you are also hoping for in this is that bottom feeder teams benefit through the draft, and you don't have Winnipeg, Toronto, Chicago, Pittsburgh benefit from this. Like, to me, it continues to be, you're not, the weighting needs to be slightly different.
And we can have that discussion, but you would understand wholeheartedly why most people who are not Senators or Red Wings fans right now don't have much time for that conversation. As like, oh, okay, so now it's a problem. It wasn't a problem when the Sabres were getting hosed or...
Do you remember the Darlene draft? And you and I were at a tournament.
I think that was 2017.
I believe. In a tournament in Calgary.
Yeah.
Fuck, I was rocked by that, right?
I chose a rather inopportune moment to drop that.
Yeah, thanks. I was right in the middle of coaching. But I'm looking for this opportunity. And not only did we not get the top pick, we fell all the way to four. Now, yeah. You know what? I think there's talk
to be
had. I'm
wrong. It wasn't 2017, by the way.
That was 2018.
Yeah.
But we got Brady Tkachuk into that draft, and I also saw somebody tweet out, and it's like they were in my brain, the idea that I'm going to hate whoever they draft, and I'm fully prepared to love them in 10 months, right? Like, to me, that's my draft day feelings. I can't believe you took that guy. And then you go, oh, but I love that guy. Later on, you come around. But yeah, sure. So to me, I think it's a bad look. And I don't have any time for people who say the NHL wanted to keep their name in the press and get a little publicity. Where the reality is, you wait till the play-in games are done. Whenever that is, you run this with actual team logos on those cards.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point now, it's not just me saying it's ridiculous. You have people like Frank Saravelli, you have Doug McLean, you have Brian Burke, who all think this is a bad look for the league.
Yeah, okay. You're losing me a little because that's a fairly old school list of people you just threw. It's just the timing. Well, you got to understand, it's just the timing.
And I don't have a pile of time for Frank Saravelli. Sorry, Frank, if we're going to have you on the show. But the other two, I totally
less
agree with
now.
You. But you would agree that these are people that have a voice.
Of course, of course. And Burke said it long before this happened. He hates this. Teams that just missed the playoffs by one point shouldn't be, you know, what. But these are the rules, and this is the thing. I understand the frustration. I don't feel the frustration, but I understand it. But when you have two fan bases suddenly very mad after it hurts them, you kind of go, yeah, right. This has been hurting people for years, and now it's your turn, right?
Yeah, like, but the thing is here is I'm not going to wear all of Sen's Twitter.
No, of course.
Because the reality is I just think it's a bad look for the NHL. I don't care. If Anaheim jumps up and wins that, do I feel the same? Probably not, right? To me, it comes down to you're fucking flipping a card up with the NHL logo, and then people go, shenanigans! Yeah. Like, it's just this whole idea. If it was the Ducks and the Kings and then us, you go, fuck, we got hosed again by the numbers. But now you're saying, yeah, we're going to get hosed by somebody that had a 3% chance, and you go, Montreal. And I'm going to say it right now. I'm not a big conspiracy theorist guy.
Here we go.
But I'm saying that fucking pick is going to end up with the Montreal Canadiens. I'm going to throw it down right now.
You would be amazed with how many people on Twitter, not just Sens Twitter, obviously, hockey Twitter in general right now, the polls that are being run, because this is going to be the Corona Cup and your team's going to have an asterisk, would you rather lose the play-in and get Lafreniere than win the cup? It is unbelievably tight. You're seeing 57% wanting the cup. You're seeing 52% wanting the cup. it's not even fun to be a fan anymore. Like, we all know the business too well, right? Like, it was that big lockout in 2004-05 where you forced us all to learn about your economics and your cap and how everything was going to be cyclical. And fans are honestly are too smart right now. That sounds dumb, but it was way more fun when you didn't care about the money. Yeah. You didn't care about this means I'm going to have to rebuild in a few years. You just cheered for your fucking team. Spend what you got to spend, do what you got to do, and win at all costs. To see almost 50% of hockey fans right now going, this is kind of a weird year. Maybe we don't need to win this one.
Blackhawk fans, Habs fans are going, I don't really have a shot.
A lot of them are half Leaf fans, and you can make your jokes about them maybe not having a shot, and maybe they don't, but instead of this thing that you're building and you're saying your window's open, you go, now we'll piss away one more year and get another rookie. And then I'm getting questions on Twitter like, if they were to get Lafreniere, would you trade Marner? And I'm like, what are you doing? Why are we even having this conversation?
Yeah. Well, see, and here's the thing. It comes down to the idea is, and the irony of it, and you can embed the Atlantis underneath here, but the irony of this is you want to protect teams and the league from tanking a la the Lemieux draft and these sorts of things where going, I'm going to be biblically bad and I'm going to get that Lemieux, that generational player. You now have an opportunity where you are looking at and teams are saying, fuck it, I don't have a chance to win the cup.
I don't believe that, man. I don't believe teams will say that. I believe fans will say that. I don't believe teams will.
All right. And this is, hey, man, we're on a podcast.
Yeah.
You and I aren't running a team. I'm saying those things. Montreal already traded away Scandella, who we talk about him like he's Bobby Orr, but, you know, he is a legit NHL player, but he's down your lineup or down a legitimate lineup. You traded away Kovalchuk, who was doing nothing in L.A., but he found a little hot streak and he garnered you a second or a third, whatever he got. But they'd already waved the white flag.
Lots of teams had sold and now they're back in it. Yeah.
And they're like, well, look at this.
Chicago is another one of those. Yeah.
And so Jim Bach, I believe, tweeted at me and said, you know, this is an uncomfortable position now for Senators fans who are forced to cheer for the Habs or the Leafs. Yeah. And I'm like, fuck that. That'll never happen. I don't want to see him end up in Montreal, but you know what? Let him land in Toronto because that ends up with a whole different parcel of problems as the cap issues that presents. Yeah, for sure in 3 years, right? And you go, well, what are you doing?
Well, that's my thing when I'm getting that question on Twitter is, would you trade Mark? Fucking no. I'm taking this near league minimum phenom for 3 years and then I'll see what happens. You don't immediately turn around and anyway.
I'm going with an AHL defense. Right. Oh, wait. Forget about that. Morgan Riley and a bunch of stiffs. Let's do it.
Mulling that over anyway.
But just to finish that, I just think it's a bad look for the league. And I'm mildly disappointed by us falling from a second and third to a third and a fifth, right? So at the end of the day, if I can finish that, if I look at it and go, yeah, you want Lafreniere. That's what we want out of this.
Yes.
You don't get it. To me, the second and the third, they're interchangeable, right? If the Kings take Stutzel.
Well, this is the only place I was moving us over to, was your actual thoughts on what
okay.
you'd end up with.
So if the Kings take Stutzel, we take Byfield, right? Like, to me, that's not an issue. And in that 4-5 range, you go, well, if the Wings take, and by all accounts, it looks like they're taking a forward.
Well, right? So Sam Cosentino has put out his prediction for that top six or seven. He has obviously Lafreniere at one, Stutzel at two to Los Angeles, Byfield to the Senators at three, Cole Perfetti, he's all but convinced, is going to Detroit at four.
Cole Perfetti.
And then the Senators with Jamie Drysdale at five.
See, I'm not taking the D. I'm not taking the D.
I'm just throwing, that's the one, yeah, one well, projection.
And you know what? I would tip my hat to Sam Cosentino being a little more plugged in than I am. But what the Senators need is, and we can debate whether JBD and Lassie Thompson and Eric Brandstrom and Christian Willannon are going to be
good pieces there.
Are going to be NHL you know, top four pieces? If are they all going to work out to be that? Are none of them going to work out to that? Are they? How are they going to accommodate or accentuate Shabbat, right?
Mm-hmm.
What Ottawa really lacks is you're looking at, we need top-end talent up front. We need top six forwards. And so,
well, and it looks like Sanderson could move up. Rossi will be in the mix there, I suppose, and that would be a good story for the Senators, right, because he played for the 67s. There's some other pieces around there, but, you know, it would be hard to pass over a right-handed defenseman with that much skill at the same time.
And I love Jamie Drysdale. I really do.
Yeah.
I don't love him for us in this draft.
Right.
I think, and again, to me, Josh Sanderson, Josh, Jake, Josh.
I think it's Jake, but you've almost already swung me to Josh. I'm not married to anything here.
So Jake Sanderson, we'll go with that.
Steve McLean, OHL fanboys, hit us up, please.
Yeah. So we are talking about, you know, a 6'2 smooth skating defenseman who doesn't have, I believe, and in listening to, you know, people who've seen him well, I've never seen him, right? I don't believe he was on the World Junior team. But he has captained the last two U.S. TDP teams. Supposed to be, you know, a phenomenal skater, a two-way guy.
Well, if you believe in such things, son of longtime NHLer Jeff Sanderson, right? So
right, another smooth skating guy.
Yeah.
Living in Idaho or wherever he's bunkering down.
It's
now
apparently NHL cottage country, man. Apparently, like half the old timers have cottages in Idaho.
Gretz, all those guys.
Yeah.
They all hang out there.
Yeah.
But not having essentially the upside of offensively that Drysdale has. But he has about 4 inches on him, right? Or 3 inches, right? It does come down to a slightly bigger size. But I'm taking, and I don't care, if Perfetti's gone, right? You look at the two Swedes, Hiltz and Raymond, right? They had...
lots of people saying Raymond might be the next guy, right?
Well, see, here in Ottawa Radio, they had on Freddie Shustrom. Do you remember Freddie Shustrom?
I do. Leaf.
Yes.
She came part of the FNUF trade, I believe.
From the Kings?
I think so. No, from the Flames.
Okay. So he was.
I could be wrong.
He was a Leaf at one point.
Yeah.
Freddie Shustrom came over and he played for either the Hitmen. I think he spent 2 years and he got drafted as a Swede, one of those rare Swedes like Landis Cog, who came over and played Canadian junior in his draft year. But he was a first round pick by, I want to say, the Blackhawks or the Kings. I can't remember. But he's now at 37 years of age, he's the GM of the Frölunda Indians.
I saw that.
All right. So he is, that's the home of, you know, Daniel Alfredsson, Erik Karlsson, Henrik Lundqvist. It's also the home of Lucas Raymond.
Okay.
So they had him on to talk about Lucas Raymond and sort of by extension, Alexander Hiltz.
Right.
And so he was sort of, because really those are the guys that North Americans don't really have a great look at, right? The sort of the World Juniors. And he was breaking them down as in, he's obviously, Raymond is his guy. But he's saying Marner-esque, right?
Okay,
is what you want to compare. So slightly smaller, mm-hmm. Dynamic skater, great edges, and can drive play from the wing, right? Whereas Hiltz is bigger, more sort of mature, and a bit more of a scorer, right? And so if you think in the line A mold, right, sort of in terms of... just to give you an idea of those guys.
Yeah.
But to me,
a lot of the Sens forward depth that in the prospect pool seems to be at wing, doesn't it? It's not mm-hmm.
That.
I think you do draft the best player available, but if, you know, like, are you worried at all about what's coming up in the middle?
For sure we are.
Obviously, you're going to get Stützle or Byfield, but.
Well, see, and if that third pick turns out to be Stützle or Byfield as a center, you are now looking out of that Karlsson trade. Forget about the other pieces that may or may not come. Mm-hmm. As a team who was center starved, you may come up with Stützle or Byfield and Norris.
Right. Yeah.
Those may be, bam,
not
right there.
Not too shabby.
Right. And you sort of go, we win. We win that trade.
Well, you may have already won that trade. Yes, this is all Carlson's got left.
This is it. This is it. So to me, whether it's Cole Perfetti or Jack Quinn or Marco Rossi, or one of the two Swedes, right? I think Ottawa is taking two forwards out of this as high-end skill forwards as they can get, because I think at this point you look for a defenseman later on. You maybe hope that Caden Gooley or one of these guys slides far enough with the Islanders pick.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I am not, at the end of the day, to me, the 2-3 is flipped. Whatever the Kings don't take, we grab.
Right.
Right. And whatever the Wings don't take, we grab. So to me, it's, you never know, right? You sent to me that tweet, which was the last 10 years of second and third and fifth overall picks.
Yes.
And you're like, fuck, look at that. There's some sweet action in the three and the five hole.
Yeah.
So you also sent me the Islanders with the last team to pick twice in the top five and having like Rick DiPietro, who they're still paying.
Yes.
and the fifth pick being Rafi Torres. And you're like, oh my God, that's...
Let's not do that.
Let's not do that. So it's a cautionary tale. It's a cautionary tale.
I should tell you on draft night, or on draft lottery night, Twitter famous Bonks Mullet put out a tweet that day saying, because I guess, obviously, he's a big Sens guy, and his wife is a big Red Wings fan. And they said, why don't we have a little Zoom online kind of video party with anyone who wants to get in on it, and you can watch our marriage be torn apart by whoever gets the number one pick. And they put out a link to a couple charities and said, you know, donate $5 here, send us the thing, and we'll send you the password. So there was maybe 10 of us on the call, and it was kind of cool, right? A lot of people still in lockdown or whatever, and you get to talk to some other hockey fans from around North America who jumped in on this thing. And I got to tell you, the Sens thing came up at five as they're doing the countdown. And there's, you know, Bonks Mullet, not too worried yet because he's still got that other pick, right?
For sure, back pocket.
When the Red Wings thing flips over at number four, there's like 12 voices all just, oh, right? Like,
yeah, yeah.
Because one of the hosts here has been hosed way worse than they expected. And then, of course, Bonks Mullet's other pick gets flipped over at three, and now the whole thing is just turmoil, right? And so it was kind of fun just to see it through that lens and with some other people and, you know, those people from a couple different places in the U.S. and obviously a few here in Ottawa. You know, kind of a cool way to do it. And I think on the heels of it, I think within the next couple of weeks, we'll have Bonks Mullet on the podcast as well. So that could be kind of fun. But just an interesting thing that they did as kind of a... You
see,
know,
I'm missing out on these. Like, I'm missing out on these sorts of things, right? As
well, we're going to get the aquarium put up here in the studio, and then maybe we'll be able to fix this up a little bit. But we're going to plexiglass off, you know, your dirty half to my clean half, and
yeah, clearly we understand how that works, right?
So mine was a bunch kind of a yellow... cool idea. I like that.
Well, of course it is, and I think the fact that you were able to get on and move around with some local podcast people and local bloggers and whatever else, right?
Yeah.
I think the idea of building a rapport or a relationship with some of these other personalities.
Community. I think I've also spoken to, and I know I've said, you know, I'm not going to say these things till they're locked in or whatever, but she seems really excited about it. Michaela Schreider of that's what she said on TSN 1200 is also now interested in coming on. I think we're going to do that later this week. So
recent follower of Captain Blueheart.
Nice. As all the cool kids are doing at Captain Blueheart on Twitter.
Exactly. Welcome aboard, Michaela. Yeah.
Who does
her own thing and works hard.
Yep.
Right. She does a little bit on TSN. She does her own
podcast. Yep.
Yep. So
that'll be fun too. So she's looking forward to coming on. And after, I think it was the Chris Hoffley show that she saw him, she's like, you just drink beer and talk sports? Like, yeah. She's like, well, I can do that. Like, let's fucking do that. Right?
Well, let's see. And this is it, right? You're like, okay, look, this is what we'd be doing anyways.
Right. Exactly.
And so that is the beauty 5 years in of TCA.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's we want to invite people in to what we do.
Our bubbles right now are very small, but the podcast bubble can continue to grow, man. The TCA bubble continues to expand.
Well, and honestly, Matt is, in during the pandemic times, he's the James Brown of podcasts. He's the hardest working man in podcasting right here.
It's
a brand new bag.
I've sent you... excuse me.
Yeah,
I sent you a video earlier today of
don't do it
concert.
Matt.
What?
Oh, okay. Sorry. Yeah. You did send me that.
I sent you a video earlier today of a concert from 2005. It was one of these Live 8, and it was, you know, they had them all over Europe, and there was one in Philadelphia, and the Toronto one.
Live 8 was the G7 plus South Africa.
Okay.
So Live 8.
Yeah. Which was sequel to Live Aid back in whenever that was.
20 years later, 1985, Live Aid. 2005, Live 8.
So I sent you this video, and really the only reason I sent it was because I watch it reasonably often, and it always had sort of stuck out to me as something that I couldn't quite put my finger on. And, you know, we got it. You're done, your Pink Whitney. Please, garçon, may I have another?
Garçon, yeah. Bon facteur, s'il vous plaît.
And, the video, and we will share it at Tall Can Audio and all the usual places, was Neil Young and a pile of Canadian artists singing Keep on Rockin' in the Free World. And because this was fundraising for Africa and, you know, food inequality and things
poverty. Eradicating poverty was the idea.
Yeah. And Neil Young was the last one to perform. And you have to go back to 2005... This was his first performance after having his stroke, and he had sort of been told, that's probably going to be the end for you, man. And within a few months, he's back up, and he's kind of got his stuff back together. And on stage, I sent you the video to take a look as well, it's a huge group of Canadian artists who have all played that day and who have come back out after Neil's set to sing that song with him, you know, as sort of the fitting close to the show. But obviously Gord Downie is standing there front and center with Neil. Bruce Coburn is there. Gordon Lightfoot is there. I believe the Bare Naked Ladies were there. The drummer and bass player from Aerosmith are running the rhythm section as they had kind of been in the Toronto area for a show
But not in the show.
No, I don't believe
Aerosmith was not in the show.
I don't think so, no. And there's a few, the lead singer from Buck Cherry is up there, and he stands out like a sore thumb
with
the tattoos.
Was it Buck Cherry or the guy from Jet?
Jet was there as well, yeah. But the guy in the tank top with all the tattoos kind of, you know, stealing a couple people's thunder was the guy from Buck Cherry. I forget his name.
Okay. Yeah,
but
no,
yeah, Jet was on stage as well.
I didn't recognize the guy from Buck Cherry at all.
Well, why would you, really?
Yeah, no, it's true.
Jan Arden up there. And so, it's... what?
Just Jan Arden and Buck Cherry.
I know. On stage, sharing a stage somewhere.
And if you look at the lineup of that concert...
Yeah.
And who followed who and what went on, and you're like...
Oh, it was weird. Well, because I think Bryan Adams opened... the day, because he had a concert somewhere else, so he was like airlifted out.
Yeah, no, it was Tom Cochran, I think, and then Bryan Adams.
Okay, sorry, I know Bryan Adams had to go.
Early, both were before noon.
Mm-hmm.
And so I looked at it all and went, yeah, okay, you know, you have this eclectic. Group of Canadians, and I'm like, some of them I don't know. I'm like, I'm looking, and I'm like, what the hell is that? I don't want to see it. To me, the thing that stands out is Deep Purple and Motley Crue. And you're like, what is happening here, man? Like, it's how did these guys end up on the Canadian leg of Live 8?
Well, clearly had to be in the general area for an upcoming concert or something. Maybe down in Toronto that night or the next night or, you know, Molson Amphitheater or the Air Canada Center or something, right? You'd imagine.
I think I saw Motley Crue around 05.
The thing that stood out to me was there's a moment there at the very beginning. Like I said, Neil Young is doing his thing. He sings the first couple lines, and then Gord takes the next couple lines. And I'm going to share the video on our social media places at Tall Can Audio. Gord looks at about the 45-second mark as he's taking over as happy as I've ever seen him on stage. Like, just feeling it, right? And for those who don't know, you know, he wasn't always the most outgoing guy. You didn't see him do a pile of media, but he absolutely supported the Canadian landscape. And when you saw him do a bunch of his solo stuff, he was always having people you'd never heard of before and kind of giving them the rub and having bands on that.
Well, he loved to collaborate with all kinds of up-and-coming Canadian bands.
Absolutely.
Right?
Like, and so this feels like it would have been up his alley that they're all kind of here in this place. And it took me a couple of times after it happened. I used to watch this video on YouTube reasonably often, even though the performance is, you know, when they're handing the mic off like every two lines, it's a little scattered. It's not awesome, but the community part of it is kind of cool. And it took me a while to kind of wrap my head around what I thought I was seeing. And I think Neil in that moment thought he was passing the baton to Gord, right? Here is at the Canadian music scene. Gord's 20 years younger than Neil Young. Neil has just had this stroke. He doesn't know what his future is going to look like. This is yours to lead now, right? We need you to kind of take over this. And as I've watched it the last couple of times, it's almost sad, right? Like, only maybe through my eyes, only if you see that that's maybe what that moment might have been, to now go, Neil's still here putting out new music and Gord's fucking gone. Like, it's a really interesting watch through that lens.
Yeah. I think that's you, man.
Yeah.
See, I don't know. I don't have Neil in the same, stratosphere.
In the industry,
Neil's
way more well-known than Gord would be. Way.
You mean worldwide?
Yes.
Yeah, of course, right? And that is predominantly due to his affiliation with Crosby, Stills, and Nash.
Sure, yeah.
Right? And the longevity of his career. And so...
And his not-so-pleasant shout-out on Sweet Home Alabama.
Yeah, right. And his tit-for-tat with Lynyrd Skynyrd. And,
yes.
And these sorts of things. And you sort of go, yeah, no, I understand that many people have Neil Young in a... They hold him in a place that I don't. I don't care for his music, man. I really don't.
No.
And I don't care for the look of him, to be honest with you. He looks like a dirty hippie.
But as fronting the community of Canadian rock, I don't know, man. There was something to see them hitting that together and watch Gord. So, because Gord doesn't do that stuff, right? Like, at least not publicly.
Well, but to
commercially.
Me, yeah, to me, what Gord, and you've already alluded to it, is to me, Gord is in his spot when music is happening, right? And so to me...
But in 2005, their best albums or their most popular albums are already behind them. And they're kind of seen as almost elder statesmen in that Canadian rock scene already. But, you know, there is still Gordon Lightfoot and Neil Young and some of these older guys. Like, it actually was a fairly old lineup at this.
Burton Cummings was supposed to be coming and couldn't make it, right? Randy Bachman was on stage.
Other people are having, like, Green Day or Akon or whatever in their headlining spots. U2, although not U2 was young at that point. But I don't know, man. There was just something about watching the two of them together there at the very beginning that Gord was right in his element, and it felt kind of like this passing of the torch moment. And even if it's not, to look at it now, 15 years later, and go, Neil's still pumping out an album. Like, this year, Neil put out another album, whether you like him or not, and Gord's gone. Like, there's just something odd about, looking back at that collection of people.
I'm trying to think, who Neil Young is married to? He's married to...
Well, it's a woman who plays piano with him quite a bit on tour. And
significantly younger than him, too.
I think you're right, yeah.
And I think that's what's keeping Neil going.
Sure.
I can't speak for Neil, and maybe he can come on and he can talk to us about that. But
sure. Oh, yeah. I'm sure Neil's a big podcast guy. You're putting too much pressure on me now, man.
Yeah. Look, Matt, you were taking down a bunch of things, right? It's nothing is impossible for Matt.
Yeah.
But yeah,
you don't see it, and that's fine. I'll share the video. I just thought it was interesting.
No, but to me, that is, you are a big Neil Young fan, mm-hmm. right? And you were obviously also a huge Hip fan.
Yeah, to see them side by side like that was pretty cool. And Blue Rodeo's up there.
God bless him for bringing that out. Right, that makes you want to slow dance and cup a little ass, for sure it does.
So I have pulled open
maybe your own if you have nobody else.
Sure, just swaying with two hands on your own ass.
Why not?
I have pulled open the American Stout from the Ridge Rock. I needed a little sorbet after the Pink Whitney to clear the taste buds. This is a nice beer. I can't remember. You pulled up the Ridge Rock not long after I did. Did you have the Stout?
I did have the Stout.
Did you enjoy it? I can't remember now.
To me, the Stout was the best thing they made.
Yeah, okay. So I looked. This is the American Stout. They also make an Irish, but I think the American is their more common, their regular kind of rotation.
See, now
Cocoa to it. It's got some caramel to it. I think the Irish one is a little more traditional, so I can't remember for sure which one that you may have tried, but I mentioned a week ago ordering from them again, mainly because I was looking for the Stout. I'm glad I did, man. This is really nice.
So the one disappointment in that for me with Ridge Rock was there wasn't a great head on it, right? And to me, a stout should have some head on it, right? There needs to be. Now, you don't know because you're a heathen and you're drinking it right out of the can.
We're not going to ever get through a fucking episode where this doesn't come up.
Okay,
put it in the artwork, like over the logo. Rob pours his beers, Matt does not, and then we can skip this most weeks.
Well, and it's a porter and a stout, man. It's a porter and a stout. I've drank many a beer in the studio out of the can.
Yeah.
A lager, a pilsner, an IPA, whatever.
A stout.
No.
I've seen it.
You have not seen it.
Oh, you're so full of shite.
Oh, wait. You know what? I drank the porter, the Mercy Papel, Percy Mapleton.
I've had a couple of the Mercy Mapletons.
The Percy Mapleton I drank out of the can, for sure I did.
Because Andy walked in, threw a box of them down on the desk and went, all right, let's pot.
Okay,
that guy.
Right, and let's be honest. I'm looking at the other two lushes in the crowd, and I'm thinking, I don't got fucking time to pour this into a glass. Boy, I got to drink this now.
Yeah, man.
So there's no waiting around.
God love that guy. He may have to be the first in studio guest when we fire things back up again, because he always comes back and.
The last time, honestly, you bought three or four advent calendars.
Well, four people, but yes, I myself did not require four. I had ordered four from him. Yeah,
so. Dude's getting, he knows that we are supporting.
For sure.
Craft beers. And so he's like, yeah, man, I don't mind sharing pints with you guys because you're putting your money where your mouth is. So.
Needabeer.com at Needabeerco on social media.
Exactly.
Hit them
and
up.
And Andy, good guy.
For sure.
But yeah, when it comes down to it, that is what I need to see. It doesn't need to last. It doesn't need to stay. But when you pour a pint, on a stout, yeah, no, for sure, is more than any other type of beer, right? With a stout, I want to see the head on it, right? And so I was slightly disappointed with the head on the Ridge Rock beer. Now
loving
I have
the flavor
been,
on it though.
Yeah, okay, and that's really what it comes down to, right? You got the, you know, the hard-ons who are looking at your beer and they're evaluating on all these things. Like, I'm going to give a fucking Michelin star for your for your beers. I'm not. I'm sorry. But yeah, the reality is you look at the appearance of it in the glass, then the taste, the bouquet, all those things that, mm-hmm. that you think that's a douchebag thing to talk about. But that's the reality is when I'm drinking beer, I want to have the full experience.
You referenced the Pink Whitney, you referenced the gin, and you referenced you had a beer sitting there. Is it worth talking about, or is it...
No, it's not worth talking, because I'm gonna take down another Bulldog Bob Brown from right. Stalwart, nice. Which I know the good listener has
we have
grown
talked
tired of. But that is...
Quite a bit of Stalwart, yeah.
Honestly, in terms of the beers I've had, and I've taken down four different breweries in this pandemic,
yeah.
I think Tall Can Audio... Single-handedly keeping some of these...
Honestly, you're welcome.
And really, I would like, especially those of you who think that you've heard enough Stalwart talk, give us a shout-out if you have a beer in mind
yeah.
that we have not tried. Local, Eastern Ontario, because Matt and I haven't discussed this, but I'm going to drop it right now. Yeah, we'll go as far as Kingston. If we need to join in on a.
Well, maybe not this week. Wait for
No. Okay, I know, but I'm saying, yeah. in terms of ordering something and having it delivered.
Yeah.
Right, and saying you know you and I could split on a larger a larger order from an Eastern Ontario craft beer, right? And I want to know, and I really want. Because I spent more time than I really should this afternoon looking at a local that I haven't touched on in this pandemic time. So I'm looking for something new. I spent a bit of time on Flora Hall.
Yeah.
Which Chris Hoffley was talking about.
That's right, yeah.
You had mentioned you were on the website.
Yep.
To me, I'm impressed by what they're doing. They seem to have... quite a seasonal thing going for
yes,
them.
Yes, I think so too.
Right, and so they had a West Coast IPA. They had a New England style IPA. They had a Ghost, like a mango blackcurrant Ghost, which interests me. But I'm looking for, in a beer order, if I'm going to pick up 16 pints or whatever it is, I need a stout or a porter.
Yep.
I just
that's
got to
be the base for me. That's got to be the base. If you have a good stout or a good porter, I'm going to start there, and then I'll experiment around it. But that's where I want to build from.
I'm proud of you, Matt. I'm proud of you. You know, I've seen you grow from, from virtually nothing, really. To here
you're
you are.
Such a nothing.
It's been said.
Yeah.
Now, as we move away from this,
yeah.
what I am looking at is between now and Canada Day, I'm looking at Brew Revolution at Stittsville, just opening up.
Now, Ottawa famous Brian 5 or 6 has been raving about Brew Revolution. He also had a rough night on Friday.
Okay.
Great Twitter night, but...
when he was talking about Stormy. Who's storming the NHL headquarters
exactly.
with me?
Exactly. but he's a big fan of theirs.
Yeah, and so they have... you sent me over an article late in the day that I did look at.
Okay.
So we're good to go on that.
Yep.
They have what they call the big old box of beer.
Big old and, box.
Yeah. So when you're looking at it now, I don't know.
Tuesday nights at the Bear Facts.
Yeah. I was going to say, I don't go in normally for the big old box, but they have a set. You know, list of things that they'll send over in this box with a couple mystery items.
Yeah.
Couple brewers. Have you seen this?
I took a quick scan over it. Yeah, when I was looking at their website the one day.
Okay, so I'm actually thinking about taking one of these bad boys down for Canada Day. So that's Brew Revolution. I was also looking at Back to Conspiracy Theory, which is waiting to open here in Bell's Corners.
Mm-hmm.
But man, they carry five beers and they're sold out of two of them. So
I've run into that a bunch. Like a lot of these places that I've gone and looked at, and I mean, I get like it's good news, right? That they're
it's not good news for me.
No, but in terms of their business, it's good news that they're being kept on their toes. But yeah, that's happened a couple times where the one that I've gone looking for is sold out, and I'm like, well, without that tent pole, I'm not experimenting with the rest, right? And so good on them that they're sold out, but it's held me up in a couple of different places. Like I said a few minutes ago, Michaela Schreider is going to be on not too long, and she's excited about this concept, and she was talking up Crooked Mile, who we've also tried before.
That's out of that. Well, that was in the advent calendar.
Yeah.
And they're out of Armprior. They're out of Almont.
Almont, I believe, is what.
Yes. Almonte, Mexican general. They're one of the.
That they're one of the few that will deliver to her, so she must be out that way as well. So she's looking forward to talking about a little Crooked
Mile.
Seriously.
Well, then I'm interested because I was on the Crooked. I saw Crooked Mile come up today as well.
Yeah.
So I'm looking to. Hey, Kanata, man, she can't be far from me.
Right.
So I'm willing to check in with the folks at Crooked Mile because they look like they got some interesting stuff. I think they had something I didn't mind in the.
I've had a couple of their things before that have been, you know, pretty good. So I'd be willing to try that out as well. And I will in the near future also be circling back around Evergreen as last week.
That's third dip for Matt, I think, eh? Third dip for Evergreen?
Just a second. Well, I had the one in the Advent.
Well, and I brought over some Evergreen.
I left some
Evergreen in the studio, in the green room.
Okay. And then, I had a couple of friends of ours. I had a birthday a week or so ago, whatever, that they left a gift card or sent me a gift card for Evergreen, remembering that I had talked up the red that was in the Advent calendar. So thinking I might want to circle back around some of that. So we got lots coming up.
And Evergreen, if you haven't tried it yet, they have some fantastic artwork on the cans.
It's really cool. And that was one of the things that, like, the beer was really good, but in the Advent calendar, like, it had a... hops or on the can.
That was the stuff they made it look festive over.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because
I stopped in there on the way home from the Senator's skill competition.
Mm.
And it
That's
was
World, right. yeah, yes,
World
yes.
Juniors gold medal game.
Yes. Okay.
And we rolled in with some Evergreen. And so they have a Latvian guy. And if you remember, Evergreen gave us a shout out on Twitter saying, "How do you know that shit?" I'm like, what are you doing? How do you know that? And I'm like,
your staff is doing a good job.
Yeah, chatting up the staff, man, when I'm in there. And they were doing it up because I'm like, man, look at this can. So
look at that can. Also two teammates of the Bear Fact.
Well, and also a Rob Christie staple. Look at that can. That's awesome.
Last thing maybe before we get out of here then, and I guess we can't go too deep on the one side. As we've been sitting here, the Blue Jays have announced their 60-man and it's actually 58. They've left two spots open, which is interesting, for their pool that they're going to use this season. But I did want to talk more about the schedule that MLB has now said, we're coming back. It's going to be 60 games. You're going to play within your division for 40 of those games, and then you're going to play interleague with your coinciding division with the other guys. So for Toronto, they will play exclusively in the AL East, and then they will have a home and home with the NL East. Shai Davidi has also tweeted as I'm sitting here, "Do not get on my ass on Twitter about this. This is all coming literally as we're sitting here. If it's changed in 20 minutes, it is what it is." That the Blue Jays have been told head for Toronto. So this had been up in the air literally right up until today. Will they go to Dunedin? Will they be able to have spring training at least in Toronto? What I'm looking at here quickly, scanning it as we're recording, Shai is saying they're coming to Toronto for at least spring training. He does not know yet whether that means they will let all these other teams cycle through Toronto for the regular season, but the Blue Jays can come. They can stay in the hotel at the Dome, be quarantined there, and run spring training there. So as we are recording this, that is the latest. But the Blue Jays schedule, can I break this down for you in a very specific way, man? We got 40 games against the AL East and 20 games against the NL East. Or 10 games against Major League Baseball's highest payroll. 10 games against Major League Baseball's fifth highest payroll. 16 games against Major League Baseball's 6th, 8th, 10th, and 12th highest payrolls. 10 games against Major League Baseball's best small market team in Tampa Bay. Maybe a little respect being lacked there for Oakland, but it is what it is. And 14 games against the lowly Orioles and Miami Marlins. But that is not an easy schedule for the Blue Jays.
Yeah, but to me, this is the best time for that to happen. right? Iron sharpens iron. But I don't believe that. I don't believe that to be the case.
That NL East, like, we know the AL East. The Braves, the Phillies, the Mets are whatever, but...
Well, the Mets are a wild card. You have no idea what's going to happen there. But the Braves have been good for the past couple of years.
The Phillies will continue to add.
That's Double A down there working his magic.
Yeah, that's just one, obviously a pessimistic way of looking at it. But when I looked at that breakdown and these teams that we're going to face, I agree with you. It probably doesn't matter that much. I think when I first saw that we were going to have a 60-game schedule, I thought, with all these kids, maybe there's a sprint, right? You just got to get hot once or twice. We've talked about how short this is compared to most
seasons. You need a couple pitchers who can come out.
Well, so everybody looks healthy. We'll see about the COVID part, but shoulders and everything look healthy. Blue Jay fans may have forgotten we have a new ace in Ryu. And interesting enough, like I said, I think I mentioned, they left two spots open on their 60-man roster. That's probably leaving some flexibility for when Austin Martin signs. He's obviously not a pitcher. But in that group is Nate Pearson, who in spring training had showed he was probably ready. Similar to what they did with Vladdy, he was probably going to go to the minors for a couple of weeks. That's obviously no longer going to be a factor. I don't know whether he starts the season with the team in the rotation, but they obviously want him getting... Like, this is the thing that people need to keep in mind. There's no minor leagues this year. So your 60-man roster isn't just guys that you think you're going to use this year. It's guys' top prospects that you need to be getting reps, right? Semien Woods-Richardson, who came over in that Stroman deal, is also in this 60. I don't expect you'll see him in the rotation this year, but they want him getting, whether they're internal games or whatever that's going to look like, inside action. It's going to be fascinating, man.
This is a great this is a great year for the Blue Jays. The Blue Jays, they're gonna have. It's for a team who is looking for, give us 60 games of development. Let us run as hard as you can with some young guys.
Yeah.
And get the experience. If you look at, that game, and I'm gonna harken back to the game against the Yankees late last year, where Chapman's in trying to close out that game, and
with Vladdy,
Vladdy and
Bo
Bichette and Biggio, and you have those guys getting that free crack, and they're working
Chapman. Yeah, they're knifing at him.
And Chapman throws 50 pitches or whatever that is in that inning, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what this season is. And so, yeah, let's run at it. Give us your best. This is the opportunity to, and Pearson is another one of those things where you go, bring him in, let him get a taste, see how it goes, right? Like, to me, this is...
This was more exciting to me when it was going to feature expanded playoffs. So I do believe we would have taken a run then. I do believe the team has enough talent, a quick sprint, let's see what happens, but with the bullshit that the PA and the league went through and just imposing the season the way they have, that's all gone away. So it'll be standard
playoffs.
Well,
after everything is said and done, that to me is the flip-flop, up and down of this situation.
Yeah.
The thing that surprises me the most is that there is an expanded playoffs because that's where the money's at, right?
Yep. Now, I don't know all the business dealings on that, but I believe, MLB doesn't care because I think they take all the money on the original playoffs. The expanded playoffs would have been split with the players. So how much do things really change, right? Like, I think that's part of it is... Okay, you don't want to negotiate, you don't want to come to an agreement, fuck you. We'll just run the normal one and we'll keep it. And
Yeah. You're going to get what you get.
Fuck. It's a mess, man.
But again, more playoffs means more cash.
Oh, for sure. All those TV networks are going to get an extra round or two. You just saw it. They just re-upped with TBS here a couple of weeks ago for another ridiculous sum of
terrible
money.
Terrible timing for the owners who are going.
Crying poor, going,
yeah.
Look over there, look away.
Because that whole TBS thing, that Turner Broadcasting, is just one of ESPN and Fox. And,
oh, yeah, they split theirs up.
And in terms of where the money comes from, you're like, there's all kinds of avenues where MLB is taking down their cash. So it's a terrible time for them to go, oh, yeah, one of theirs is coming down with billions of dollars.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, yeah, well, they look away.
One of the players tweeted out not too long ago, you know, about MLB crying poor, saying, the Miami Marlins have played in empty stadiums for as long as anyone can remember. They built a brand new one, then signed the richest contract in MLB history to Giancarlo Stanton, and then sold the team for a record, like, $1.2 billion or whatever the fuck it was, right? Like, you are not that hard up.
And whoever bought that team is saddened because...
Peter and pals.
Because when Forbes came out with their new list...
Yeah.
They were the only team listed under $1 billion.
So, you may have paid. That's not what it's worth. So, I guess last thing then before we get out of here, you did make reference a few minutes ago to an article I'd sent over. And I'm sort of... all right, there you go.
Sorry, and I've changed my mind due to the topic here in this last little bit. I've gone with the...
A Canadian.
No, I've gone with the Innocent Gun Craft Lager.
Molson Canadian announced about a week ago that they were wanting to do this hashtag make it a Canadian.
Make it Canadian.
Yeah. And then the Canadian case is the other thing that they're calling it. And essentially, this is supposed to shine a light on other Canadian breweries. I know what some of you are thinking before you get all worked up listening. We know that Canadian is owned by Coors, based out of Chicago.
Molson Coors, they call it.
Yep. And there's a pile of skepticism around this thing. And I guess we should finish teeing it up. It's essentially we want to draw attention to Canadian beers around Canada Day. And they're also wanting to put together this Canadian case. I believe it would be regional, which is actually kind of a bummer. Like... If you were going to do this and you're sitting here in Ottawa, it would be cool if you were going to get a case of beers from across Canada instead of, you know, probably some Ottawa-based ones you've already had. But they're saying, you know, it would be label to label. We'll put out this Canadian case and reaching out to craft breweries. They're all over social media sending tweets to all kinds of breweries saying, hey, you in? You want to be part of this? I don't know if that's part of the social media aspect of this. The skeptics are saying if you were going to do this, you'd have had to have organized it and had the administrative part of it done weeks ago to be ready to do this. And I kind of agree with that. But they have reached out to all kinds of breweries. Some of them answer and some of them don't. You would think the ones that aren't, they would already know. Like, if you're not part of this, don't reach out. Like, you're kind of getting left hanging and embarrassed a little bit, right? Like, there is a part of it that does look legitimate. I wonder what you think of this, man, because it is an international conglomerate, and they're clearly always only looking out for their own bottom line. But at the same time,
I looked at the article today, and I clicked on the "Make Your Own Virtual Case,"
okay,
which was an option in the article, which didn't actually allow me to make my own virtual case. It just gave me more info on Molson. And the history of Molson. It's whatever the date is today. It's July. It's June 28th.
Coming out on
29th.
Yeah.
And so you're like, fuck it, man. You're now looking for this to come out around Canada, which is what you say.
Yeah.
I'd be interested if you could give me, and I don't need to have small locals, right? If you could give me a case with some, you know...
How about Big Rock?
Big Rock, Kokanee.
Big Rock is in.
Give me a little Moosehead.
But
give
they're
me
a big little... boy, right? Like,
yeah.
Big Rock, as an example. They're the ones answering Molson on, going, yeah, we're in. Like, let's do this. And you go, okay, I see this. These are your social teams working together to build this up. And I get it. I'm fine with it. But why do they keep tweeting at all these other breweries who aren't answering? Because you would think you're looking worse to reach out to people who don't want any part of working with
you. It becomes less genuine when it says right in the first paragraph of the article that Canada's top-selling beer is not a Canadian beer.
Who do you think they're referring to?
Do you know who it is?
I don't.
It's Budweiser.
Okay. You think
which is brewed by Labatt's.
So they are going to war with almost the opposite of themselves.
Yes.
Like owned by American, but calling itself Canadian versus calling itself. Yeah, I don't like.
Budweiser brewed right out of London, Ontario.
Right.
Like the Budweiser you drink in Canada is not the same as the Budweiser you drink in the States.
And I'm surprised Bud is the biggest beer in Canada, though.
Well,
I would have thought it would have been blue or Canadian.
Yeah, you know what? I could tell you honestly, I have never, ever bought a case of Molson Canadian.
I believe that, but I don't believe you're the majority.
Oh, no. And I don't either. I worked in, I was like 16 or 15, working in a bar in Bob Cage in Ontario.
Yeah.
And what you saw roll in terms of bottles and kegs.
From the Constellations.
It's all blue and it's all Molson Canadian, yeah. Right? And then there was other things, but on tap, if you want it on tap, it was blue or Molson Canadian.
I'm saying, man.
So I don't disagree, and I understand the power of the product. I've ordered in my sort of my late teens, early 20s. If I was in a bar, Labatt's Blue on tap was, to me, on tap. I've never drank it in the bottle. I would never drink it in the bottle. As a matter of fact, the time I got brought home by the police, well, the first time I got by the police...
Check my journal.
Honestly, I'm in early grade 8.
Oh, Jesus.
And I'm with a couple of girls out behind the Legion. And but it was Labatt Blue.
Yeah,
it was some stubbies. It was some stubbies. And they were, honestly, I'm in grade 8. They're grade 9 girls. I've been led astray by older. Yeah, honestly, all my life, man. It's been terrible. And so
here's the thing, right? Like, for me, I'm a Canadian guy. I understand that, or at least I thought I did, that it ran neck and neck with Labatt Blue. Like, I didn't have it as the superior or the more... I'm surprised now to hear that honestly, that Budweiser is the top brand in the country. And so I kind of get what...
Top selling.
Yes, of course. I kind of get what Molson Coors is going for here. Like, let's focus on Canadian together. And I kind of get why the skeptics among us, and God love you, because I'm usually one of you, pointing out and go, fuck you. You're in Chicago, right? Like, you don't get to weigh in on this.
Yeah.
At the same time, I think part of the problem is the mystery, right? Like, you're seeing a lot of people online saying, so I buy a case of Canadian and you throw... 23 Canadian and one random craft beer in the case. I don't think that's what's going to happen. If you told me I was going to buy one of your Make It Canadian cases or the Canadian case, and it was going to be one Canadian and 23 different beers from across Canada, I don't really care who's selling that. I'll buy that.
I absolutely want to buy that.
Yeah.
I don't believe that's what's going to happen.
I don't either. That's the problem.
Because to me, the article and then the click link, it's draped in Molson Canadian history.
Yeah.
Molson history, right? And I don't begrudge them, right? I understand where you're going. But
I don't really begrudge the ones who are getting in with them. If you're just trying to get your name out there, whatever you got to do.
But I don't want 20 Canadian and...
What is possible? Is it 4 sixes? Is it 6 fours? Is it?
Yeah. You know what? If you gave me 6 Molson Canadian, 6 Molson Fireside, and 12 of something else.
Yeah.
I could do that. 12
individual?
No.
Or two different breweries with a mix of their stuff in there? Like anything really at that point, I'm okay with that.
Yeah. And I am behind the idea of drink Canadian because you and I live it here on the show of drink local.
Yeah.
Right. Of drink beers as close to home as possible.
Sure.
Right. And so the idea that Mill Street has sort of gone by the wayside because they've gone big.
Yeah.
right? I want to support the guy down the street.
We're
going to
see what's going to happen with Big Rig here, right? Like,
well, I've already stopped drinking Big Rig.
I noticed that, so.
But I do still enjoy their Radler. Yep. To me, their Radler is the best. But yeah, that kind of thing is, it to me, this is, it, at the end of the day, it's a Molson.
It is.
Sell job.
It's commercialism. It's all the things you hate. But if it was done properly, I don't know that I'd care. Because it would mean to me they bought.
Started in March.
Yes. And they bought these beers from these breweries and they're going to sell. Like, I would still believe that even though Molson is getting all the recognition for it, I've still bought 20, 23, whatever it might be, right? Beers from different breweries. I'd be all in on that. And so.
Well, do you remember, and maybe you don't because you're a wee gaffer.
Sure.
But I'm thinking the mid to late 90s, and I'm thinking Kokanee and how big that was here in Central Canada, right? Whereas Kokanee had been crushing it out west,
yeah,
for years, right? Yeah, and so mid-90s, mid-90s, I'm in university, and we had a coffee table that we called the Chia Pet because it would grow beer bottles. You clean it off in the morning, and you come back the next morning, and there'd be another full coffee table full of, you have to clean it off. And you're, yeah. I don't know how this happens, man. But that was, Kokanee was in full swing, man,
right,
in those days. And so I really, it's gone away. It's like,
yeah,
it's
things
like
get trendy a bit, right?
It's like Pill, like out of the East Coast, right? They're Pilsner. And so Alpine.
Yes.
Right, which I think I had strep throat one time when I was in university, and I drank a half a case of Alpine and cured it. I'm positive, man. It's got medicinal benefits.
It's like a flaming Homer, comes with cough syrup in it, clear you right up. Whatever.
Of course, that's neck and neck with the Aerosmith episode, right?
Yeah, exactly. I think that is the
okay
Aerosmith episode.
And you know what? It's in, and I have to make reference to friend of the show AJ Jakubek.
Yep,
who's been back on air and. He's not feeling it, right? He's been given it, and he's been, I think he's made his elbow room, and he's come back, and he's had his heartfelt thanks, and you know, and he's sort of taking a bit of advantage, right? And so Steve Lloyd, another good friend of the show,
yep,
hit him with the Abe Simpson onion on the belt.
Which was the style at the time.
Well, and honestly, man, it was golden because AJ was pissed off by it. He's like, I resent that, you know, but it's spot on.
Five B's for a nickel, you'd say.
That's what you'd say, right? You're a bumblebee on the nickel at the time. And so anyways, it's worth a mention only because both guys have been on the show. Yeah. Both are stand-up guys. And, but yeah. The Simpsons reference in the Flaming Homer has brought me back to that.
We will be back with you on Canada Day with Elliot Friedman, who we're now going to rub shoulders with and claim is also a friend of the show. From Sportsnet, from Hockey Night in Canada, 31 Thoughts, the blog and the podcast now, as he continues to branch out. He will be with us on Canada Day. Like I mentioned earlier, there will be no free agent frenzy on Sportsnet, so you can get your Elliot fix on Canada Day here. He was the guy 2 years ago who announced 7 years Tavares to the Leafs, and I talked to him about being the guy to break that, as he knew, and we did talk about it. He was head-to-head running a race with Bob McKenzie on that story that day, so we did ask him about that as well. So join us.
Join us, but also it's worth noting, and you've touched on it right there, is in terms of the insiders or the people you look to, to me it's Bob McKenzie, it's Elliot Friedman, and then it goes down from there.
Yep. Right? Chris Johnston climbing up, but.
Yeah, but if you want to look at.
Well, they're the big boys.
Yeah, for sure they are. For sure. And that's all I'm saying is Elliot is he's a name.
Yeah.
In terms of a look to as. And I think it's worth noting, just short of the Bob father, right? He is. he is a guy that you look to and you go, that's legit. Did I hear it there?
Yeah.
Then it's
then
good to go.
That's real, yeah.
So Elliot is a good get and insightful, runs his own podcast, right? Him and Jeff Merrick, I believe.
That's right.
With the 31 Thoughts. And so just the people that I've talked to, and I'm like, hey, can you keep this hush-hush? And people are like, are you kidding me? That's a huge get.
Yeah.
That's a huge guest.
Yep.
Right? And so look for that. And that's more good work on Matt's part.
That'll be on Canada Day. So we hope you will join us then. This has been TCA 700.
700! Take it!
Honestly, man, it's a lot. We are on Twitter and Instagram at TallCanAudio, Facebook.com/TallCanAudio. We'll see you on Canada Day.
See ya!
Colors on the street! Red, white, and blue. People shuffle.
Listening. You can get more TCA at TallCanAudio.com or by searching TallCanAudio on your favorite podcast app.